Turn first of all to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, and reading from verse 2. And he said to them, "The harvest indeed is great, but the workmen few. Supplicate therefore the Lord of the harvest that he may send out workmen into his harvest. Go, behold, I send you forth as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor sandals, and salute no one on the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, Peace to this house. And if a son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. But if not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house abide, eating and drinking such things as they have, for the workman is worthy of his hire." Then the book of Judges, chapter 8, and reading from verse 1. And the men of Ephraim said to him, "What is this thing that thou hast done to us, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with Midian?" And they disputed with him sharply. And he said to them, "What have I done now in comparison with you? Are not the gleanings of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? Into your hands hath God delivered the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison with you?" Then their spirit was appeased toward him when he said the word. Genesis 21, and reading from verse 25. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water that Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, "I do not know who has done this, neither hast thou told me of it, neither have I heard of it but today." And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said to Abraham, "What mean these 7 ewe lambs, these which thou hast set by themselves?" And he said, "That thou take the 7 ewe lambs of my hand, that they may be a witness to me that I have dug this well." Therefore he called that place Beersheba, because there they had sworn, both of them, and they made a covenant at Beersheba. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, and reading from verse 14, "And a certain woman by name Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, heard, whose heart the Lord opened to attend to the things spoken by Paul. And when she had been baptized in her house, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." Then just one final word in Mark 9, Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, and reading from verse 50. "Salt is good, but if the salt is become saltless, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and be at peace with one another." What I particularly have in mind, dear brethren, is a reference in Matthew's Gospel, which says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Now, I'm quite sure that every one of us in this room would like to be called a peacemaker. And it struck me, as I read those words recently in the Gospel of Matthew, from the Lord's own words and his own lips, amongst those other precious sayings, he says, "Blessed the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." It occurred to me, as thinking about this occasion, you know, I'm sure that the Lord is saying something to us all about peace. Now, to be a peacemaker, we first of all have to be a son of peace. And I think you know that in every locality where the Lord Jesus is treasured, there must be a son of peace. I say that without any hesitation, because if those words have come from the Lord himself, and this section that I've read here, and into whatsoever house ye enter, first say peace to this house, and if a son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. One thing that strikes me, you know, is this, that a son of peace is not provocative. A son of peace would be concerned with the interests of the Lord. I need hardly say that I'm not speaking about peace at any price. We would know that. But I'm speaking about normal relations in our localities with one another. And you know, there's nothing like peace gathering the affections of the people of God. F.E.R. said that peace is a heritage from God. And he says further, undoubtedly, every believer in Jesus that is set for the will of God is entitled to enjoy peace among the saints. Now these things, dear brethren, I believe would come home to me, and I trust to all of us, that what God has really had in his mind from the beginning of the Christian dispensation is that there may be peace among the saints. There's a very interesting reading too, and I would commend it to the brethren to read it. It's a reading between Mr. James Taylor Sr. and beloved CAC. I would very much commend it to the brethren to read it. He says this, peace among the brethren is more important than the inheritance. You think about that. You see, he speaks of the children of Israel in their lots. They would rather pursue unity and peace than claim an extra bit of land. And after all, if we haven't got peace among the brethren, what is the use of speaking of the inheritance? Say that guardedly and with affection to my own heart. So you see, dear brethren, what I would say is a burden on my heart at the present time is that we may learn from the scriptures. The Lord Jesus could say, learn from me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Now, it's wonderful, therefore, to find that there's households where there are sons of peace. Let us be encouraged, all of us, those who belong to Christian households, to cherish the thought increasingly of a son of peace. And it's the Lord telling his own, go to that place and say, peace be unto that house. And if there be a son of peace there, you abide there. It's very fine, isn't it? Oh, I trust you, brethren, with all my heart tonight, that all of us may get an impression from the Lord what it is to really enjoy peaceable conditions amongst the people of God. I need hardly say that the enemy is bringing in something else. But God knows how to meet the enemy and defeat him. He's done so already. But I believe there is a great need. And I would take the word to my own heart tonight. Am I really a son of peace? Think of all that's been granted to us down through the dispensation of time. How much we have to thank God for, haven't we? And I believe that an impression of the glorious greatness of the Lord Jesus brings peace into our hearts, which is to be infused into every member of the body of Christ. You can see what flows out of peace, can't you? Settled conditions. That which is ever delightful to the heart of God. You know, you can hardly speak of divine things in an atmosphere that's restless. Thank God for the atmosphere tonight. It's peaceful. Give thanks to God for that. When he can just speak to our hearts and convey something of his own gracious movements of love and care for us, and to bring in something of the love of God into our hearts. So it says, Son of peace be there. Your peace shall rest upon it. Wonderful thing, isn't it? Your peace shall rest upon it. Think of the Lord sending his own out. And I believe, dear brethren, by extension, we have been sent out too, under God's direction and love. And there is the sense of peace being enjoyed among the people of God. So different from the world, isn't it? The Lord says, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good courage, I have overcome the world. Thank God for the victory of Christ. Thank God for the glory of the one that we desire to speak about, as the Prince of Peace. Soon, dear brethren, we're going to be ushered into a heavenly scene where everything will be at peace. And we shall be in touch with the Prince of Peace. Oh, let our hearts tonight get a real living sense of what it is to have to do with him now. Speaking peace through Jesus Christ. You might have come in here troubled, anxious, even depressed. Wonderful thing to come to know the Lord Jesus as the Prince of Peace, isn't it? Have to do with him about your sins? You know, when you have to do with him about your sins, and you acknowledge that you're a sinner before God, think of the peace that comes into the soul. We might say that is the beginning of the peace that we're seeking to speak about, because it's something, we might say, that comes into our hearts by the love of God. And the love of God is being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful, glorious, divine person that we have indwelling those who love the Lord Jesus. And all this is to bring about the peace and joy in our hearts. Well, I want to pass on, because I want to show, if I could, from these scriptures, how persons that are marked by being a peacemaker is able to overcome difficulties. Now, it says the men of Ephraim said to Gideon, what is this thing that thou hast done to us, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midians? Now you see, dear brethren, often we are confronted with situations which we need the help of God, and we've sung in our hymn that we might more skillfully move in service. Now perhaps that's a word to me, and perhaps it's a word to all of us. We need to be more skillful in the Word of God. Now, how would you meet a situation like this if you were confronted? These people thought they were great. It says, "And thou callest us not, Gideon? What is this thing that thou hast done?" And they disputed with him sharply. Now I'd like to suggest, this is the spirit of a peacemaker. What have I done now in comparison to you? Now isn't that wonderful to see? That there's the spirit of Christ shining through. Often you see with me, alas, the flesh is aroused. And peace is broken. Think of the victory that Gideon had won for the children of Israel. Think of his victory. Actually, Gideon was far greater. But he was content to submit, we might say, to these brethren. Ephraim, he was content to submit to them. What have I done now in comparison with you? Are not the gleanings of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abed-Ezer? Into your hands hath God delivered the princes of Midian? And what was I able to do in comparison with you? Dear brethren, can we catch the spirit of this? What was I able to do in comparison to you? That is a peacemaker. You said, why didn't Gideon speak out and say, well, I won this battle? No, he was like his master. He showed the spirit of Christ. I long to be more like that. One thing I believe that the Lord is teaching us in these last days is to be skillful. Children of Israel upbraided him sharply. Well, now, how are you going to meet a sharp rebuke in the spirit of Christ? You'll be a peacemaker if you do. The situation is saved. Dear brethren, there are many conditions at the present time that could be saved by the spirit of a peacemaker. I say that without any hesitation because I feel it. Oh, to be like Gideon. You might say, yes, a lot of persons followed him at once, didn't they? 32,000. And then it comes down just to 300 brethren who were content to lap like a dog and to be with Gideon in the conflict. It says on them one point, faint yet pursuing. Don't you feel like that? I do. But thank God for those who are pursuing. Don't give up, beloved brother and sister, because the day is difficult. Because God is on your side. And I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is needed in relation to these last days in the testimony just before the Lord comes. Oh, for the spirit of Gideon. Oh, for the spirit of Christ. What have I done? What have I been able to do in comparison with you? I don't want to go into the details, but just to bring out lightly these touches that Gideon shines as a peacemaker. And it says, their spirit was appeased toward him when he said that word. Now, isn't it wonderful to think, you know, that situations can be saved by a right spirit? The preparedness even to go down with a great man like Gideon. Not surrendering anything, of course, but showing, setting right in meekness those who oppose. And he does it as a peacemaker. Oh, may the Lord help us with the spirit of these precious things that shine out in these chapters. You know, I was thinking of Genesis 21. I would like to speak of Abraham. Abraham was a peacemaker. I haven't any doubt about that. Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water that Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. You'll notice, dear brethren, in the scriptures that we've read is sharply, violently. Everything to arouse the flesh naturally in me. And you know, I marvel at divine arrangement that God gives us these wonderful types to show us that things are not met in the flesh. They're met in the spirit. It says, I do not know who has done this, neither hast thou told me of it, neither have I heard of it. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. Abraham set seven ewe lambs by themselves. Oh, you say, what is Abraham going to demonstrate to Abimelech? He's going to demonstrate the perfection of Jesus. Seven ewe lambs which speak of the Spirit of Christ. Dear brethren, this is how to meet the sorrows of the testimony. This is how to meet conflict when it comes, by the Spirit of Christ himself. And then, you know, Abimelech says, why have you set these seven ewe lambs by themselves? Oh, Abraham says, this is going to be a witness to between me and thee, that I haven't come and violently dealt with you, Abimelech. Is going to be an everlasting witness that when I came to you, I demonstrated the love of Christ. Oh, isn't that lovely, dear brethren? A peacemaker. And so it says, what mean these seven ewe lambs? These which thou hast set by themselves. You can understand Abimelech noticing seven ewe lambs, speaking of the perfection of the manhood of Jesus, what is perfect, without blemish, something which speaks to the heart of God, of the perfection of the Lord Jesus. And there they are. And Abimelech's anger is met. The truth is maintained, yes, it's not surrendered. The truth is maintained according to the divine standard, and the situation is saved for the glory of God. They made an oath there, Beersheba. Wonderful to think, you know, how God comes in his delivering grace, when you find that there's a spirit of a peacemaker. And so it shines out in Abraham. Think of God saying, I know him, and I know that he'll conduct his household after him. Think of the testimony that these servants had of faithfulness in a dark and difficult day. Think of when Abraham moved out for the first time. He said he moved out in faith, not knowing where he was going. God comes in for every faithful and true heart that desires to be loyal to Christ in a dark and difficult day. Brethren, let us take courage tonight to see that our way is not entirely shut up. Cast down, but not abandoned. Always bearing about in our body the dying of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. Well, think of it. Outwardly difficult. Our way not entirely shut up. There's opportunity, I believe, for sons of peace, which lead to being a peacemaker. You know, one of the things that a peacemaker does is he has the skill to gather. Perhaps we're not often very skillful in doing that. But a peacemaker would gather. He wouldn't let the trouble overcome him. Sometimes we're overcome by the trouble. But a peacemaker would go on and go on until something is reached in the affections of one another which will lead to glory to God. This is the divine way. I am assured of it. This is the only way, dear brethren. If there's to be peace among the brethren, let us make sure that our links are pure and holy. It leads to what is neighborly too. I believe all these things shine out in a greater way. We find there's neighborliness. We find there's love. And we find there's peace. That's what led me to just refer to Lydia. You know, I think rightly, I know it's been said before, but rightly, Lydia was a son of peace. She comes in that category. It says, Lydia, seller of purple, the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God, whose heart the Lord opened to attend to the things spoken by Paul. Why was she a son of peace, suggestively? Because she listened to Paul. That's why. You know, often the truth of Paul's teaching is given up. And I believe, you know, that if we're to rightly understand, sons of peace, our households are included in this. Here was a woman, a beloved woman, whose heart the Lord opened to attend to the things spoken by Paul. She was a faithful heart. It says, when she had been baptized and her house, she besought her, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. Now I think a son of peace would want to be faithful to the Lord. I think, you know, always the divine standard would always be before Lydia. And so it should be with us. What do we allow in our homes? Is it according to the divine standard? Could a son of peace come in there and say, peace be to this house? The Lord is raising these things, dear brethren, with us so that there might be loyalty of committal to the Lord Jesus and to his interests. She doesn't say, I have been faithful. She doesn't make any claims at all. She said, if ye have judged me to be faithful. That's a fine quality, isn't it? Seen in a beloved sister like Lydia. Come into my house and abide there. That was a house where Paul could say, peace be to this house. And you know, when we think of peace being to this house, it has the effect of every lover of Christ. Because after all, the houses are the bulwarks of the testimony. We sometimes read, walk about Zion, mark ye well her bulwarks. They're like the households of the saints. Wonderful then to realize that there's a great blessing in keeping your house for the Lord. There might be suggestions of the enemy, you know, to lower the standard. But you know, you say, no, I want this house to be a house where those who love Christ can come and say, peace be to this house. Lovely things these are, dear brethren, to enjoy and to appreciate in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lydia was one of them. She was a son of peace. And therefore you find, you know, that there's the power of prayer just preceding this, where prayers want to be made. How much we need to pray about peace. How much we need to be marked by prayer that things may be preserved and maintained until Christ comes. Well, it's wonderful therefore to be a peacemaker in this sense, to consider for the heart of the Lord Jesus. I could say more, but I think what you find with Lydia is she contributes to something which is very pleasing to heaven. I think this occasion tonight, you know, is very pleasing to heaven. You say, we could have been doing other things, so we could. but you look at the genuine desires in one another. I'd like to be found where the Word of God is, where there's the enjoyment of peace. And need I hardly say, dear brethren, that underlying peace is confidence. Another very necessary quality in the things of God. Peacemaker would have confidence. You know, that's a thing that's been undermined. Enemies doing it undermine confidence. So we need, I believe, that the spirit of these things more and more. That's why I read in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. It says, salt is good, but if the salt has become saltless, where will you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and be at peace with one another. Now, salt is a preserving element that's very much needed. Salt, in its effect, preserves joy and peace among the brethren. Now, you see, often something corrupt comes along. Say, this is not of the Lord. Then you need the salt. Salt is a preserving factor. And it's to keep me and to preserve me in the pathway of God's will. Salt brings in adjustment. Now, you know, if I'm going to be a person marked as a peacemaker, I'm also ready for adjustment. That's a salt. Have salt among yourselves and be at peace. How fine these qualities are, dear brethren. And so, salt is very necessary. Speaks about your words being seasoned with salt. Words with grace seasoned with salt. There might be the edge of the word. It's to help us. It's to preserve us in the pathway of God's will. How precious then is the element of salt in what we're saying. Have salt then among yourselves and be at peace. Abroad today the world is full of corruption. Full of what would defile and hinder the people of God. Therefore how necessary this ingredient would be with a son of peace, that along with the things that he has in his possession is salt, and that will preserve me and keep me pleasing to the will of God. Well, dear brethren, I trust that we might be helped this evening to see that this great quality is needed in my heart, and I believe needed with every one of us, in order that we might be faithful to the Lord until he comes. Colossians 3 is something that, amongst any other things, it says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any should have a complaint against any, even as the Christ has forgiven you, so also do ye. And to all these add love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of Christ preside in your hearts, to which also ye have been called into one body. Be thankful. Wonderful climax, we might say. The peace of Christ. How precious it is to get a sense of that in our souls tonight as we sit here. Preside in your hearts, to which also ye have been called in one body, and be thankful. I'd like to suggest, you know, that perfect complacency to the will of God. Peace of Christ preside in your hearts. Wonderful thing, therefore, to just enjoy the preciousness of our link with the Lord up there, the presence of the Holy Spirit here, and the comfort that He would bring into our hearts even as we sit here, so that the peace of Christ, the complacency, I use it in a right sense, to the will of God, and it says, and be thankful. Dear brethren, I have to say often I'm not thankful enough for the way that divine love has kept and preserved any one of us. We can't boast in that. But we can count on the grace of our Lord and Saviour, that He'll help us and He'll bring about the desires that's in His heart for every one of us. What I have to be concerned is, am I a son of peace? And am I going to be a peacemaker among the brethren? I leave that word with you and with me, so that there might be something which will characterize all our hearts. And I believe, you know, that our occasions will be filled with joy. Wonderful, therefore, to be encouraged and strengthened as we think of all that God has provided in Christ for our blessing and for our peace. May the Lord bless the word.